Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you today. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And yeah, what a good program, Pastor John Lutz in the last half hour, and appreciated his program. And he was taking some phone calls today. I guess he's going to be doing that, and that's great. I really appreciate him doing that. And so I hope you'll get a chance to tune in next week in the following weeks. He won't be here next week. He's having a guest host next week, Brother Maletti, who's been on before, and promises to be a good program. But we're going to be on until 2 o'clock right now, and Pastor Andy Rusnacko will follow us at 2 o'clock. So hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. What a blessing it is to have this opportunity. Pray that you'd use the program today for your glory and for your benefit, and help us to point people to Christ. And we just pray you bless all that we do for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, wanted to mention a couple things today, and of course, today's St. Patrick's Day, and we're going to talk about that. I'd mention it on Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook Live with Pastor Al, you can follow us there. I mentioned that we're going to be talking about some things about Patrick of Ireland, and so I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And Pastor Lutz, as he was closing out his program, referred to me as Pastor Mick Davis, I think he said, and I told him as he was leaving the studio and I was coming in, well, that's pretty simple. On my mom's side, I come from the McManus line, so that's Scotch-Irish, I guess, in that, but we'll cover some things here in just a minute, but also a reminder to check us out online at our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And of course, you can find out more about me, more about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, at those sources and link to them. And you can also, if you want to help keep us on the air, we've got a GoFundMe account going right now. We're giving it a try just to see how it goes. And you can find all that at our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, or our website, livewithpastoral.com. But other thing I want to mention, too, is that if you are, or if you know somebody who is looking for some part-time work, needs a little extra money, I have been mentioning these past couple of weeks, if you're in the Garfield Heights area, you can visit or call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. They're in need of pizza drivers or delivery drivers. And so you can give them a call. They're right there in Garfield Heights, across from the high school on Turney Road, number 216-341-9100. 341-9100. If you just want a good pizza, I was there yesterday, wonderful pizza, and had a great time talking with the owner, Gus, and you can certainly stop in, and if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. All right, well, let me mention a couple of things, and we'll get to some callers perhaps here as well, but I do have some information that I want to get out first before we get into the phone calls. But that number, if you want to get ahead, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And as I mentioned on Facebook today, we're going to be talking about some of these things dealing with Patrick here, and just basically give you some background information here. And again, if you're calling in, hold on for a minute. I'm going to cover some materials before we get to that. But this is becoming quite the holiday here. It's kind of interesting because in the early 1900s, late 1800s, there used to be signs in Akron, Ohio, and elsewhere across the country that had signs that said, "Help Wanted." I remember seeing a picture of a sign in a business window in Akron, Ohio, around early 1900s, late 1890s, somewhere in that range. And it said, "Help Wanted." And it said, "Negroes welcome. Irish need not apply." And Irish were at one time really looked down on in this country. And but now it's become quite fashionable to celebrate all things Irish, especially on St. Patrick's Day. And it's kind of interesting, just a real couple of real quick facts. According to some information online, about 56 56% of Americans plan to celebrate St. Patrick's Day in some fashion, and expected about 5.3 billion dollars is going to be spent this year, with an average of about $38 a person celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and about just over 82.5% plan to wear green today. Actually, for the record, I don't believe I'm wearing green. And just a number of things going on. But here's some other parts of it. St. Patrick's Day ranks as the fourth heaviest drinking day, holiday of the year, first being New Year's Day, followed by Christmas Day, followed by the 4th of July, and then St. Patrick's Day. And about 13 million pints of Guinness, which is an Irish beer or stout beer, ale, whatever you call it, is expected to be consumed this day worldwide. And along with that, of course, they say that it'll be about, well, there's about 70, every 72 minutes, there's a alcohol-related car crash which claims a life on St. Patrick's Day, and that 75% of car crashes on St. Patrick's Day that involve a death involve a driver who's consumed two times the legal limit. And, that's pretty sad. And then, of course, on another aspect of it, there's about a 70% increase in the amount of cabbage that are shipped during the week of St. Patrick's Day. And that's because people eat boiled cabbage and corned beef and things like that. But Irish is the second most common ancestry of people in the United States, German being the number one, and then Irish followed by the English. And so that's kind of interesting. But in fact, right here in Northeast Ohio, one of the 10 one of the top 10 cities where residents have Irish ancestry, believe it or not, is Parma, Ohio. Now, if you're from Northeast Ohio, if you're from the Cleveland area, that might come as a shock. Usually we think of Parma as being of Polish ancestry, and with all the pierogies and the different things, if you remember some of the old Channel 8 Houlihan and Big Chuck, Little John skits and things. But anyway, Parma, actually, one of the top 10 cities with Irish ancestry there. So that's just some of the basis of it. But Patrick of Ireland, very interesting individual. And I'm going to go through some things quickly here because we do have a number of callers calling in. And we're going to touch on this real quick. I want to get the information out, as I mentioned, online. One of the things that we need to remember about Patrick, his original name was actually Sukkot, or some people say it was Sukkothus, and he was not Patrick originally. Some people contend that that was a name given to him as an honorific, but some people contend that was also the derived from his last name, Patricus. And so his original name was not Patrick, and also he was not Irish. He was actually born near what today would be called Dumbarton, Scotland. And that's kind of interesting because a lot of Scots wound up in Ireland, especially northeastern Ireland. That's why Northern Ireland it tends to be separate from, well, it is, it's part of Great Britain as opposed to the Republic of Ireland, and that's part of the reason for that. But he was believed to have been born there somewhere between 360 and 387 AD during that time. At about age 16, Patrick whose father was actually a deacon in what would be considered to be a Baptist or at least a Baptistic church, and I'll explain that in just a minute, was a young man who was kind of wild and rebellious. He was not a believer as his father was. He was, along with some other young people, captured by some Irish slavers, and he was taken to Ireland where he was sold as a slave, and he was there for a number of years. I think in his 21st year, he escaped, and actually it was during that time, while he was there slavery in Ireland, as a shepherd, I believe it was, he remembered the Christian teaching of his youth, and he became a born-again believer. And at about 21 years of age, he was able to escape, and he had dreamed that God told him that he was going to go back to his homeland and that there was a ship waiting for him, and he had to travel about 200 miles to get to the coast where he was able to get on a ship and make it back to Scotland. Of course, when he got there, he found out that his father had since died. His land was acquired by others, and Patrick became stronger as a Christian, and he did not initially want to go back to Ireland, but God called him back there, and he went back to Ireland as a missionary to turn the unsaved of Ireland to Christ. Now, what's suspiciously missing in all of this is any mention of the Roman Catholic Church, which was in its embryonic state at that time anyways. And the authority of the Bishop of Rome was not universally recognized at that time either. And like I said, the Roman Church was just getting off the ground at that time. We had competing patriarchs in Constantinople, Antioch, Jerusalem, and Alexandria all claiming to have equal or greater authority than the church at Rome. So I'm going to touch on a couple of things here real quick, and I apologize that we'll go through these quickly, but this reflects something that I saw somebody brought this up one time, and whether or not you call a church a Baptist church or not, it's clear that the doctrines and beliefs and practices of a church, that's what makes it a Baptist church or some other type of a church. And somebody said on a scale, you can rate churches on most of their doctrines and practices, one end being the Baptist or the Baptistic end, and the other being the Catholic end of it. And if we rate what Patrick did and what he taught, what he believed, and what he practiced, it's kind of interesting because Patrick, according to the history that we have of him that others have written in earlier centuries after him, as well as his two writings, St. Patrick's Confession, as it's called, or the Epistle to the Irish, as well as his Epistle to Coraticus, in these he has a great deal of his doctrine laid out. And one of them is that Patrick only baptized professed believers. Now, that is a Baptist doctrine, and whether or not the churches had Baptists appended to their name, the Baptists go back all the way to the days of the apostles, and they might have been called the Church at Antioch or the Church at Ephesus. You might know them by that name. They were also called Waldensians and Montanists and Anabaptists and Baptists, and they go all the way back. In fact, even the Catholic Church, there was a particular guy, Stanislaus Hosius, I believe. He was a Polish Roman Catholic who he became a cardinal, and he made a statement. Let me find it here. He said that talking about the Baptist or the Anabaptist, and I had the thing right here. He basically said if they were, here it is. The Anabaptists, and you can read Baptist there, are a pernicious sect of which kind the Waldensian brethren seem to have been. Again, that's another Baptist group, the Waldensian brethren, concerning whom it appears that not very long ago they rebaptized persons, though some of them lately, as they testify in their apology, have ceased to repeat baptism. Certain it is, however, that many things they agree with the Anabaptists, nor is this heresy a modern thing. It existed in the time of Austin. So that puts us back a little bit. And basically, He said that had they not been grievously cut off by the knife these past 1,500 years, let's see here, this is at the Council of Trent, he said, if the truth of the religion were to be judged of by the readiness and cheerfulness which a man of the any sect shows in suffering, then the opinion and persuasion of no sect can be truer sure than that of the Anabaptist, in other words, the Baptist. Since there have been none for these 1,200 years, I apologize, I said 1,500 earlier, these 1,200 years past that had been more grievously punished or have more cheerfully and steadfastly undergone or even offered themselves to the most cruel sorts of punishments than these people. Now, 1,200 years, when he said this at the Council of Trent from 15, which was in the middle of the 1500s, we'll subtract 1,500 years, that puts us back into what century? The 4th century, the 300s. Yeah, amazing. Time of Patrick. And, Patrick only baptized professed believers. That's a Baptist doctrine. Catholic doctrine is that you get baptized as a baby, no profession of faith. You get baptized as a requirement for salvation. That's not a Bible doctrine. That's a Catholic doctrine. Here's another one. Patrick baptized by immersion only. That was the original practice. Goes all the way back to the book of Acts. You can see that. And the Catholic Church changed that to sprinkling or pouring. Patrick was Baptist in his belief of baptizing only professed believers and baptizing by immersion only. Church government. Idea of parishes and hierarchy over several churches in different cities was unknown in the British Isles. It was unknown in Ireland. That is attested from writings of Irish clergymen way back in the 12th century and reconfirmed with some other writings in the 11th century. And again, that's Baptist, independence of churches. He was independent from creeds, councils, popes, and stuff. Patrick never paid homage to the Catholic Church, any pope, or any kind of creed, council, or hierarchy. Again, Baptist in doctrine. Baptist in doctrine in his writings. He believed in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He believed in the free gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes to the believer at the moment of salvation. He conveyed the message of eternal security of the believer. He confirmed that all men must be drawn to God by God in order to be saved, and affirmed his conviction of the sonship of the believer, and that all believers are joint heirs with Christ. We can sum this up one way. The Baptist position is that Jesus paid it all, and when he said it is finished, he meant it. The Catholic position is he made a down payment. You have to do other things to maintain that or to finish the job. And Patrick was more Baptist in his doctrine. The Lord's Supper, he was a Baptist in his doctrine there. He believed that the Lord's Supper, the elements were representative of the body and blood of Christ, that they did not become the body and blood of Christ. He rejected that dogma of transubstantiation. And he never affirmed his belief in or adherence to a number of Catholic things, such as the Mass, the priestly forgiveness, extreme unction, last rites, purgatory, indulgences, intercession of Mary, allegiance to the Pope. None of those were affirmed by Patrick of Ireland. And so on the balance, he's more Baptist than he is Catholic. So if he wasn't a pure Baptist, he was certainly Baptistic. And you can look at churches today and find the same things. They're either Baptistic or they're Catholic in their doctrine and practice. And the easy way to see what a Baptistic doctrine is, just read the New Testament. It's right there. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to change it. It's right there. And so I'm, in that sense, I am glad to be in the heritage of the Baptist tradition, which goes back to that which Paul laid down for us in the New Testament. All right. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've had a number of people who are calling in, and let's get Jeremiah real quick since he has a comment on Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day. Jeremiah, welcome real quick.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, laddie.
Well, and Begorra and all that sort of stuff. I don't have enough touch with my Irish ancestry to get it. I don't have the touch. I never went to Ireland to kiss the Blarney Stone. So, but I've flown over Ireland. That's as close as I've been. But
maybe someday I'll take vacation there.
Well, it's a beautiful place from the air, and I could see why it was called the Emerald Island, because I went over it in early January, first time I saw it, and it was green. So that's because of the unique geography, and the Gulf Stream comes across the Atlantic and hits it. But real quick, I just got 5 minutes. I got a couple more callers to get to.
Is there a St. Patrick's Day mentioned in the Bible?
Nope. There's no St. Patrick's Day in the Bible. Patrick lived in the 3rd or 4th century, and he was completely independent of the nascent Catholic Church that was just coming into, being birthed at that time. And he was an independent Baptist preacher sent out by an independent Baptist church, if you want to look at it that way, in Scotland. And he went over. He was sent by the Lord, just like in Acts chapter 13, where Paul was sent out by the church at Antioch when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him to go. And he spoke to the church and told him that he was to go. And so he went, sent by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Patrick did. He had no connection whatsoever. The Catholics actually are the second people to kidnap Patrick. The first people, of course, were the Irish that kidnapped him and sold him into slavery. Then later on, Catholic missionaries to Ireland, when they found vibrant, independent churches there, they wanted to take them over and make them give allegiance to the Pope. They, through revisionist history, they changed Patrick into an Irish priest, for lack of a better term, a Catholic missionary, and they convinced him that they should have allegiance to the Pope. So if Patrick could come back, I'm sure he'd drive a few snakes out of Ireland today, if you know what I mean there. But thank you for that, Patrick. I got somebody else I got to get to as well.
I'm going to try my corned beef.
I'd like to get some today, too. I love corned beef. But thanks, and appreciate the call. And we've got Keith calling in as well. Keith wanted to get on yet, too. And Keith, welcome to the program today.
Pastor Al, long time no talk to.
Hey, good to have you.
Interesting stats on the alcohol consumption.
Yeah.
I tell the people out there, going up is not worth the coming down.
Right. I'm going to put actually those things on our Facebook page here later on today, if you want to look at them later. So,
well, just a heads up, are you coming out to the men's conference tonight up at Community Baptist?
No, we have a Bible study at our church tonight. We have our regular Friday night Bible study.
Well, come hear some good preaching.
It would be good. Are they going to be online? Do you know?
We just moved into the carousel. You know, we found.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And for those that are listening, you're talking about Community Baptist Church down the old Carousel Theater building. Was that on Triplett Boulevard or around there?
It's a corner. It's a corner of Kelly Avenue and East Waterloo Road.
Yeah.
1275 East Waterloo Road. You can get it right off the express.
Yeah, it's near the Akron Airport there, isn't it?
Akron Muni.
Yeah, not Akron Canton, but the municipal airport.
Akron Muni. And it'll also be going on tomorrow morning too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sort of like the Mansfield. Now you've been down the Mansfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, that's a great church down there. If you're in the south eastern side of Akron in that area there, and you're looking for a good church, Community Baptist Church is good. Pastor Mark O'Donnell. And do you know what their website is by chance?
Oh gosh,
people can find it online. I think they got enough information there. Pastor Mark O'Donnell, Community Baptist Church, and
it's on it.
Yeah, so that would be good.
Well, the phone number's, 330-733-3662. But Tony Hudson will be speaking tonight.
Oh, okay.
He's worth the price of admission. And Joe Arthur. And it's going to go on from 6 to about 9. They're going to do a pizza. You know, they're going to have all the pizza delivered.
Mm-hmm. What time do they start tomorrow?
It'll be breakfast starts, I think, 7, and the preaching will start at 8. It'll probably go on until about noontime, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind.
$20 cover charge. You can't beat it.
Hey, that's great. I want to thank you for calling there. I'm kind of running out of time here myself.
Right, but love your show. Hey, maybe we can have you speak sometime.
Well.
I think you would do a very good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
that. God bless.
Oh, thanks. God bless. Thanks for calling and letting us know about that. Again, if you're in the southeastern side of Akron there, Community Baptist Church has a men's conference tonight and tomorrow, and you can go online and find them, find out more information about that. Go online. I'm going to post this information about Patrick and his Baptist roots, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you as well. And so stay safe out there. Thanks for listening. Join us tonight at our Bible study. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.